As a pastor, my job here is that you grow spiritually. How many of you know that? If you go to your doctor, his job is that you are healthy physically, right? As a pastor, I want to make sure that you are healthy spiritually. Amen? Amen. What does it mean to grow spiritually, to grow closer to Jesus? And last week I already reminded you, that means to pray and read the Bible on a regular basis. Bible says that faith comes from hearing of the Word of God. Opposite of faith is fear. Fear makes us do stupid things, right? A lot of times we think if we're fearful, we're going to make the better decision. No, usually when we are afraid, we cause more trouble, more problems, okay? If a wife or a husband is afraid to lose their husband and wife, they're more likely to drive him away. If you are afraid to lose your friend, you are more likely to smuggle them, right? You're clingy and you're like, oh, please don't leave me, please don't leave me. And they end up doing what? They end up leaving you. Whatever you are afraid of, Bible says, will come against you. So we don't want to walk in fear, which is the greatest enemy of ours, next to death. But we want to walk in faith. And this is how we grow spiritually. And this is how Satan cannot have room to attack you, to defeat you, to destroy you. Bible said that Satan has come to kill, steal, and to destroy. Jesus said, I have come to give you life in abundance. I know you want to be happy. How many of you want to be happy? That's a life in abundance. And Bible says, happy is the man who practices his time in the Word, who meditates on the Word of God. So really, you want to be happy? Will you do anything to be happy, to be blessed? Which is another way of saying happy is the man or blessed is the man. That means you stay in the Word of God. What's up with this light? Did you like, can't turn it on? Anyway, so if you practice being in prayer and in the Word of God daily, and I'm not saying, pray 1 hour a day. You might not have an hour a day, but maybe throughout the day you pray continually. Every time you have a free moment or you feel good, you don't just turn on the music and disconnect from the world and go, yeah, yeah. No. You thank God in those times. You know, take the time to thank God. If you're driving in a car and you just feel sad, pray. If you feel happy, pray. Talk to Him. Now, if you're depressed, begin to talk to yourself. Begin to preach to yourself. Say, Pastor Alex, you're an amazing preacher. Oh, man, you have you're an amazing man of God. You're blessed. Do you know that? You're so blessed. And just begin to say to yourself, and David, in the Bible, we see, speaks to himself. Right? When he says, why so down, O my soul? Why are you depressed, David? Come on, get up. Praise God. He never left you. He'll never forsaken you. When Goliath came your way, when a problem came your way, he was always there with you. And he will be there with you. So listen, don't forsake your time in the Word of God and prayer. Very, very important. Now, it's not important for church. It's important for you. So, how do you know you're spiritually growing? You're spending time in prayer daily and in the Word of God. You're worshiping. How are you worshiping? How are you giving? And it's sad that only 20%. I know that most of you have a job. Most of you do. And you're able to give. And don't wait to give big amounts. Give 50 cents. That's fine. Amen? All right. So, and then you're serving. You're not all about yourself. You want to give some of your time to something bigger than yourself. Well, today we're continuing our subject called Jesus and Demons. How many of you enjoyed last week? It was a long message. It won't be like that this week. Last week, I was surprised myself. That was hour and 10 minutes. I was surprised. I never preached that long. 40 minutes is tops. Hey, come on. Come on. Hallelujah. So today we're going to go short, and I'm hoping we're going to be done in about 25 minutes. Amen? Not unless it goes really good and then Holy Spirit does His own thing in this place. Hallelujah. So we're talking about demons today. We're celebrating as a nation a Memorial Day, correct? What is a Memorial Day? It's a day when we are reminded, when we honor the men and women in the uniform who gave their life and their blood for the freedom of our nation. Amen? Aren't we glad that these people stood up to tyrants, that they stood up to people who wanted to take over this nation, and that this nation is the way it is because of these men and women who gave their lives, who spilled their blood. Okay? Now, you want it or not, there's enemies in our world. Yeah, you might not be attacking them, but they'll be attacking you. Because enemy wants to conquer and defeat and take the land and take the possession. So you can say, well, I'm a good person, nobody bothers me, and I don't want to have war with anybody. Well, that could be true. But that doesn't mean that somebody else has the same intentions towards you. So men and women had to give their life for our freedom today. I'm so glad I can freely preach here to you today. I don't have to be arrested because I'm preaching. All right? But even if I did, somebody else would rise up and preach in my space, in my place. Amen? You cannot kill the kingdom of God. It just spreads and spreads and spreads. Well, there's another man that gave his life as well and shed his blood. That's Jesus Christ, a mighty warrior who came to set captives free. Now notice, Jesus didn't really worry about you being free from, let's say, debt. Although He wants you to be free from debt. He wasn't really worried about you being free from whatever. But He wanted your soul to be free. And when your soul and your spirit is free, it brings freedom to the physical. If your spiritual is free, your physical will be free. Amen? So it's foolish to think that there's no enemies. And this is what Jesus said. Your warfare is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, demons, evil spirits who come to destroy you. Amen? So everyone has an enemy. Listen, open your Bible to 1 Peter 5:8. It says this: be alert, be on watch. Your enemy, the devil, roams around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Okay? Your enemy is roaming like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Now listen to me. You might think that I don't have an enemy because he's invisible, right? Satan is invisible, so you can't see him. So you're like, well, maybe he's there, maybe he's not. Bible says that he is there, and he's not neutral towards you. It's like, if you don't attack me, I won't attack you. That's not how Satan is. He'd rather have you think that he's unreal, that he doesn't exist. But his job is to roam around looking for his next prey. And are you going to end up his next prey? You might think you're immune from the enemy. You might think Satan will never attack you. But he will. It's just a matter when. Now, you might say, why does the devil hate me so much? I didn't do anything to him. Yeah, he might have against Jesus a problem, or God, you know. But what do I have to do with this, right? Why would Satan attack me? Well, people, you are made in the image of God. So you look like God. If Satan could attack God, he would. And he would be sitting on a throne right now. And evil would always conquer good. But except now, good always overcomes and conquers evil. But so Satan, listen to me, cannot get to God. He cannot slap him around. So guess what? If I wanted to hurt Wildebeest and I couldn't do it, I could come and slap around their child. Guess what? That would bring more pain to Earl if I slapped him. So if Satan cannot get to God, guess what? He wants to get to you. He hates humanity. And he will use it. He will use humanity. He will use you and me to hurt God. See, this war started long before us. But it continues. And God said, Satan cannot defeat me. And he said, I'm going to give authority to my children, to the Christians, and they will defeat the enemy by the name of Jesus. Some of you think, I don't feel the enemy. I don't know the enemy. Let me give you some statistics, can I? Do you know that there's 55.7 million of Americans struggle with mental illnesses every year? Well, we have about 280 million people. 55.7 million people struggle with mental illnesses. Now, those are not physical. Those are spiritual sicknesses. So many people today are mentally experiencing sickness in their body. Do you know that a lot of people today are on different medication? And that doesn't heal the problem. That just kind of controls the symptoms without going to the root. So many people during their lifetime experience mental distress. That reminds me of King Saul. How many of you know King Saul? Do you remember a young warrior named David? Spirit of God was dwelling on David and he killed Goliath. And Bible says that evil spirit started bothering King Saul. How many of you remember that? To the point, and because of Saul's jealousy, that's what brought it on. Evil spirit came and started distressing Saul. Saul would experience, what would we call it in modern day? Help me out. Anxiety. He would experience anxiety attacks, and to the point was his anger would get so great, his anxiety would get so out of control, but he would take a spear and he would throw it at people he didn't like. You know this. He did it to David. His anxiety was so strong. Now, we don't do that today. He was king, so he was used to killing people. You know, I don't like you, boom. You know, but we don't do that today, so we don't go throwing spears or shooting people with a 22 or a 9mm or whatever. You know, I'm going to pull it out of my purse and boom, every time I'm anxious. No, we don't do that. But nevertheless, we experience anxieties today as well. Now, what was the pill that King Saul used to calm his anxieties? No, he used music. Now, music has an amazing effect to calm our anxieties down, especially the music you love. Now, if I hate rap, it won't do it for me. But if I love rock, that will do it for me. So whatever music you love will help to calm your anxiety. A lot of young people, when they experience anxiety, great music and just kind of flow away. But notice, that's not something that heals. It just, numbs the pain, right? What happened to Saul, every time somebody would play music, he would calm down. As soon as the music stopped, next day, Saul would get anxious again. David is going to get my throne. Bring David to play for me, please. David starts playing. David turns. What? David turns to the side. The spear goes right next to him. Saul experienced the evil spirit bothering him. Now, let me make a disclaimer. Not everybody who experiences anxiety is because the evil spirit is bothering him. No. Not everybody, but in many cases. And let me stop freaking you out, because many of you think automatically that I have a demon inside. That's why I have anxiety. No, that's not true. Anxiety happens a lot of times. See, demonic world has effect on our physical and our emotions. That doesn't mean they're inside of us. They just press on us. Have you ever been in a place where you felt so dark? You felt evil? Have you ever felt the presence of evil? It wasn't in you, but it was all around you. So don't automatically think that you are demon-possessed. This is what it means to be demon-possessed. Your spirit, soul, and body is not in control to you anymore. They're controlled to something else within you. Okay, that's what it means to be demon-possessed. Most people are not demon-possessed. But most people, and myself included, as a pastor, as a man of God, I experience spiritual pressures. Bible says your warfare is not against flesh and blood. That means there is a war. And Bible says fight the good fight of faith. We defeat the devil by our faith. When devil says you're nobody, you said, what? That's not what God says about me. When the devil says you're the lowest, you're nothing, you're garbage. No, you said, I'm blessed. I'm anointed. I'm rich. Maybe you're not yet, but you will be. Listen to me. I have a friend, and this guy, I mean, the biggest confessor ever. He's the biggest confessor ever. I used to laugh at him until I seen it work in his life. He was using drugs. He was smoking weed. He was drinking. But he would confess that I'm still blessed. Yes, I'm a sinner, and I'm having problems. I'm trying to be set free. Remember? Yep. And he would confess things in his life, and now this man is truly coming out of it. He's truly being, he's defeating those addictions, and those things are behind him now. And he's still confessing, and he's doing good. He's got a great job. He's making good money. But what happened was he started confessing things. Now, last week we said, how does the devil speak to us? How do demons speak to us? It's usually through our mind. The warfare happens in our minds. And so when the devil tells you in your mind, he doesn't tell you audibly. When he tells you in your mind that you're stupid, you say, what? I don't receive that. You fight back. He said to Jesus, if you're the Son of God. You said, what? So devil speaks to us through our mind. Now, what are you going to do with those thoughts? King Saul, in our modern day, he would go on Prozac. He would go on some kind of medication to numb his anxiety. So he found a natural way, music. But it didn't take those anxieties away. Instead, what Saul should have done, he should have brought a musician, but he should have dealt with the root problem. Why am I anxious? Why don't I trust God? No, Saul had to kill this man. Come on, if God made him a king after you, you can't kill God's plan. If God has you to die at a certain time, you can't stop that. So why are you worried? I'm going to die. You're not going to die until God says you're going to die. So stop worrying about it. Hallelujah. So King Saul was worried and got even to more trouble with God. Instead of repenting, saying, God, take away this thing. If you assign David to be king after me, let it be so. Maybe I should help David. Maybe I should train him. Maybe I should teach him not to make the same mistakes I did. Saul said, no, I'm going to kill him. And for the rest of his life, Saul chases this man named David for 15 years. David runs away from Saul for 15 years. He could have done so much good. Saul could have done so much good for his nation. Guess what? He's chasing after wind, after God. I mean, he's trying to kill God. It's like, how do you kill God, you know? That's what it means to kill God's plan. You have to kill God. You can't do that. So stop trying to do that. Common enemies people deal with. is self-doubt, lack of confidence. A place where the devil can have a great door into your life is unforgiveness or bitterness. If you are bitter or unforgiving, he can control you. He can do, without possessing you, Satan can control you. Every time you see that person and you don't forgive him, what happens? You lock up. You don't want to be in a place where that person is. What's robbing your joy? That could be a party. You could go to a party and you see the person who offended you. Maybe for real they offended you. And then you run away from that party. They don't leave, you leave. So who's suffering? Whose happiness is being stolen? Yours, not another person, not the devil's. And that's how devil steals, kills, and destroys people. Through abandonment, you feel abandoned. And devil takes that and starts talking to you that nobody loves you. Nobody will ever want you. Nobody ever will be with you. Nobody is going to spend their life with you. You just feel abandoned all the time. And devil keeps using those thoughts to attack you. A lot of times, Satan can attack you physically as well. Do you know that what happens in the spiritual world affects your physical world? You can have headaches. Headaches that you don't know how to get rid of. You try Tylenol, you try Advil, you try Bayer, whatever you try. It just doesn't work. Some people experience lower abdominal pain. And they go to the doctor and the doctor says, there's nothing wrong with you. Let's just give you more medication. Well, yeah, maybe it'll numb your pain, but it will take it away. See, those are the symptoms. If the doctor says nothing wrong with you and you're still experiencing it, maybe you need to go to God and say, God, set me free. Amen? Now, the question I've been asked all the time is, how do demons come inside of people? How do they have influence inside of people? Now, we're not talking about possession. We're just talking about, because remember, we're talking about a story in Mark. How do demons come in inside of people? I've seen in medical community says that mental illnesses are a result of drug addiction and alcohol addiction a lot of times. Now, what they say is that because of your mental illness, you started using drugs. I see. Or because of your mental illness, you started using alcohol. But I look at it the opposite way. I look at it as alcohol addiction, drug addiction opens doors to demons to come in. And when they come in, mental illnesses happen. See, demons are authors of confusion. Because Bible says God is not author of confusion. So whenever demons are, there is what? Confusion. And mental illnesses are what? Just people are confused. They can't make the right decision. They always make the wrong decision. They get angry when they shouldn't. They should take a joke, you know. And they just explode in rage. It's like saying this. Follow me. It's like saying this. Your body was sick already, but when you drank poison, that's when that sickness started working. You sleeping? Okay. Let me say it again. Let's say this. You drank some poison in your body, and your organs are shutting out. You know, they're shutting down. And you come to the doctor, and the doctor says, well, your organs were already sick, and they were already shutting down. But when you drank the poison, it just started happening faster. That's what they'd say. Listen. How does it make sense? Hold on. I'm trying to say it. It's in my mind. I got to say it. How does it make sense? The reason you do drugs and alcohol is because you're mentally ill. And that's why you're mentally ill. It doesn't make sense. It's like saying, it's not the poison's fault that you drink. It's just your body. How does that make sense? It's not the alcohol's fault. You know how we say now? It's a disease. It's not a disease. It's an addiction. It's a devil. And what it is addiction kills, steals, and destroys. It's going to steal you from your family. It's going to kill your body. It's going to kill your body parts. And in our modern medicine, it's popular to say, well, it's not the drugs. It's just you. You have a mental, you have a chromosome disorder or something, you know. You have a genetical disorder. You have biochemical disorder. Well, yeah, if you use drugs, what? Hereditary, whatever it is. Listen, you don't have to have Satan come and destroy your life. Many of you are so young. Most of you are so young. You have a life to live. And the question is, what do we do? What do I do when fear comes against me? What if the devil comes to you, young ladies, and says, you'll never get married? That's a fear. See, Satan plans ahead. You might see first step. But Satan knows how to get to a young lady. You'll never get married, so why don't you just marry the first guy that pays attention to you? Yeah, he's not Christian. Yeah, he doesn't have a job. Yeah, he's irresponsible. Yeah, he's angry. Yeah, he pushed you or slapped you. But he loves you. He might be a good person, but, you know, nobody's perfect. Oh, if anybody says that again. We know that. Stop saying that. And Satan says, well, nobody else will marry you. There's no guys in the church. So, you know, no Christian guys out there. So I'll just marry him and change him. Or a guy could say that about a girl. I could just marry her and change her. You know, she'll change for me. She'll do anything for me, Pastor. Pastor Alex. You don't understand. The Lord can save. How can you say that I can save? You can't change. You can't save. Only God can do that. And Satan knows if you marry, I can destroy that family later. Because first he'll do this. Oh, you love each other. You can't live without each other. As soon as you get married, you start butting heads. Oh, you're unchristian. I'm Christian. This happened in both of you. Okay? Let me give you an example. Can I have a young guy come over here? I'm going to give you an example. Single guy, please run up here. Single girl. All right. What's your name, man? What is it? Kevin? Evan. Okay, Evan, you're not going to sit. You're going to stand up here. Are you good balance? You got good balance? You skate? No? Okay. Okay. All right. I need you to pull me up there, okay? You're a Christian. I'm not un-Christian. Okay, help me out. You are, you know, I need you to pull me up there. Give him a hand. Thank you, Evan. Who's going to pull down who? Who's going to pull down who? Guys, this is serious. Girls, this is serious. It's so true. He's going to pull you down. He's going to keep you down. And then you're stuck. You don't want to get a divorce because it's unchristian. But your life, kids, everything. But you don't want to. But your life is messed up. You're not happy. And then eventually what happens, you jump down and you start living there as well. When you love the Lord, when you followed Him, when you were a worshiper, now you just hate God. It's very important, people. I love you. That's why I'm saying this to you. And you know that. Over the last so many years that you've known me, you know that my heart is right. You can't lie for 8 years. That's how long I've been a pastor. You can't lie for that long. And we've seen people who follow God, and their marriages are blessed. And we've seen people who just did it, went through the motions. Said, yeah, I believe, so I get married. Be careful. Be careful who you marry. If you want to marry, if you want to marry and your relationship with God is still shaky, you're kind of one foot in, one foot out. Listen, give yourself completely to God. Bible says either be cold or be hot. Don't be warm. Don't be a warm Christian. That's a perfect place for demons. They just say, well, everything is okay. Everything is okay. But it's not. Hallelujah. Are you still with me? So demons come in. How do they control people's life? They need doors to come in. You know that demons can come in through unforgiveness. If unforgiveness lasts for a long time, it could be a place for demons to control you and bring you not happiness, but pain. Through bitterness. Demons can come in through sexual sins. How do you know that the guy you're sleeping with hasn't been with 10 people? And those 10 people hasn't been with 100 people? Can I be honest here, or do I have to act? God loves you. Do you know that? Jesus loves you, everybody. Hallelujah. Let's go home. Don't forget the offering. No, that's not it. That's not it. My job is to piss you off a little. It is. If I'm not doing it, I'm not doing my job. Sexual sins bring in. You know, a lot of times that, and I want to tell you this, guys. This is crazy. But, and I don't watch horror movies. You know that. Just not me. And I'm not saying that should be a religion. Nobody watch horror movies. I just don't. I'm not going to put it on you. You make that own your own decision. But sometimes when we would watch something that had spiritual meaning in there. And our kids, usually we put our kids to bed about 9, 9:30, and then we watch a movie with my wife on Friday night. And what would happen is suddenly our kids would start freaking out. What do you do? Start crying and for no reason. And we had to go in there, and I know why. And you feel the presence, the evil presence in the room. And you just have to say, in the name of Jesus, I command you to leave. What I've been doing lately is I've been teaching my kids to fight the faith with faith. A lot of times they see a scary dream or a spider or something. And I said, all you have to do is just say, in the name of Jesus, leave my room. Because there's no spiders in your room. There's no bugs. There's no things in your room. Just command it. And then I repeat to them, what are you going to do when something scary, a monster comes to your room? He's going to say, in the name of Jesus, leave. Let me tell you my experience. And this happened once in my life. When we opened this church, freaky things started happening. Just demonic, were so fighting against us that it was crazy. I mean, one time we came home late, about 2 or 3 in the morning from Minneapolis. We drove back. My wife is sleeping, and I'm still laying there, you know, just totally relaxing after a tired, you know, tired day. Suddenly, I have this evil spirit run to me and almost like put a pillow over me. I saw him. He was totally black, and when I looked inside of him, you can see blackness going deep inside of him. In his eyes, there was no eyes. There was just holes, and there was darkness in those holes, going really deep. My mouth, I couldn't say anything. It was like this. I'm looking in the room. There's still, you know, moonlight, or, you know, it's not too dark outside yet, so you can see in the room. And all I could say was, Jesus, help, with my spirit, not even with my mouth, because I couldn't say a word with my mouth. I'm laying here. My wife is laying over here. This is what happens. Don't be freaked out, because you need to know how to fight the devil, okay, if he comes towards you. I said, Jesus, and before I said help, a ray of light. Guys, I'm not freaking you out. I'm not freaking lying to you or anything. Something came from over here and knocked this demon thing out of me. He didn't have horns. It was just the image of a man. And you know, dark. and eyes were even darker. Knocked them out. I get up like this, and I still see the sparkles, but I don't see what it is. I didn't see the person who knocked the demon out. And then I was like, oh, Jesus, thank you. Now notice why I remember this, because I said, Jesus, help. And I said, Jesus, help fast. But between somewhere, Jesus and help, this, whatever this was on me, was totally knocked out of me. Mark Driscoll tells a story that happened to him. I just heard it recently. He said, as he was sleeping, his wife was sleeping next to him. Something fell like a tree, he said, fell on his chest. And he couldn't breathe at all. And he said the same thing, something to that effect, Jesus, take this. Oh, he said, Jesus, take this away. He couldn't breathe. So in his mind, he said, Jesus, take this away. And whatever it was, lift it out of him. He said he thought he's gonna be dead because he couldn't take any air. He said next day he woke up, and this didn't happen to me. He said there was a black mark, like blue, you know, like somebody took a big baseball bat and hit him in the chest. I trust this guy. This guy is for real. Happened to other people. What are you gonna do when you experience spiritual warfare? Do you teach your kids? Because this will happen to you. If you are a Christian long enough, it will happen. What you need to do is call upon the name of Jesus. Bible says that the name of Jesus has the highest name above all other names. Is the highest name above all other names. Remember Jesus said to a man who was possessed with the legion, he said, what's your name? He says, I'm legion, because there's many of us. And Jesus said, legion, come out of him. And go into the pigs. Remember that story? Jesus' name was bigger than the legion. Legion is what? 12,000 soldiers? 6,000 soldiers? 12? Something like that. Name of Jesus has power. Now, most of your life stories won't be that dramatic. Won't be that scary. Some of you will recognize that you get offended too easily. And then it takes you 2 days to be not offended, or a month not to be offended. You got to fight that. See, because whatever you defeat when you're young will not bother you when you're old. Whatever you hide when you're young will be exposed when you're old. People who had anger issues and now are old and can't control it, they're almost dying. Their wives, I've seen this. I was cutting a tree for a guy, and a branch fell in his yard. And he was with an air tank, oxygen tank with him. He got so mad, and his wife was like, please don't talk to him. Please just leave. Please just leave. He's going to have a heart attack. He's going to. And he's like cussing, and he doesn't have any air anymore. And this man is old and just cussing and so angry. And his wife was like, please don't talk to him. Husbands, wives, you don't want to have a husband like that, who's so angry and he can't control it anymore, and he's 70 years old and he just can't breathe. You want to deal with the issues of your life. This is serious stuff. Hallelujah. Okay, we're going to pray. I promise we'll be earlier today. Now, Jesus said this, behold, I give you authority. Listen to me. This is less scripture. Behold, I give you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions. Talking about demon spirits, angels, demonic, evil spirits, filthy spirits, and over all of the power of enemy, and nothing will injure you. I want us to read this together. Repeat after me. Say, behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of enemy, and nothing will injure you. Listen, if you're a Christian, if you're a follower of Jesus, God has given you authority to step upon those things. And listen, nothing will harm you. I've never had devil harm me, except when I harmed myself by submitting to his evil schemes. He'll never harm you. He'll He'll never touch you. Use the name of Jesus.